Thank you. I also want to comment that I also have the pleasure and honor of serving as one of the two APHA delegates to the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee along with Melissa Bartek. So it helps kind of, there she is, thank you, helps us kind of be part of the national conversation. So as we've seen the first two presenters, we're going to continue to kind of narrow down here. So this is a little bit of a think globally, act locally. There were a number of people who contributed to this work, and I'll talk a little bit more about them in a minute. So I do have no relationships to disclose. So this was a voluntary online employer survey, not somewhat different than, but with the same purpose of similar purpose to the previous presenter, but it was looking at health and wellness programs, not just lactation support. And this is a little looking, so our assessment about lactation programs is going to be looked at in a little different lens. The goal overall was to try to improve the health of the community. This initiative was funded and was part of a larger community transformation grant that Rochester, New York had, so this is upstate New York. It was really intended to be a focus on kind of cardiovascular health, improving health and wellness through physical activity and nutrition. For those of you who are not aware, that the 5 years of the community transformation grants got foreshortened and ended after 3 years in September of this year. Thank you, federal government. Sorry. The survey had 80 questions on it, and it was developed by this group called the Finger Lakes Health Systems Worksite Wellness Team. So I didn't develop, but we were invited and kind of nudged our way in to make certain that we were, in fact, asking about lactation as a part of this. We collected data over about a seven-month period of time in 2013. The survey continues to be open. They're in the process of revising it. And we actually have a few more employers who've participated in what I'm going to present today. So to be eligible, you had to be an employer in the area. We worked with a business alliance to identify employers to target. I'm trying to remove gun violence language from my, I kept to stop using the word target, to invite to participate. We use local listservs. And the year one goal, because this was a part of a learning curve from the worksite wellness group, was to at least get some beginning participation among the employers. So they had a fairly low goal of 60 participating organizations. So we got 61. They had about half had fewer than 100 employees. About half had only one site as opposed to being a multi-site employer. We had quite an array of types of businesses responding, from healthcare and food industry to human resources, legal, so transportation. So fairly, I think, a nice distribution in that way. The topics were, again, not just about breastfeeding, but about tobacco, physical activity, what were they doing in terms of their policies and programs, about an array of employee health and wellness initiatives. And so one of the questions was, we're going to ask them, what are they doing? But we didn't know if the employer even had any control over this, particularly if they were part of a larger organization. So about 60% said that they had essentially autonomy about what they did relative to health and wellness. Some actually had a wellness budget. Okay, think about how far we need to be going. I mean, so you can think about these numbers as the full part of the glass or the empty part of the glass. So 75% had some staff member or members devoting some time to wellness. Again, a low bar there. About half actually surveyed their employees to look at what their needs were. About half had actually made a change in the past year to improve health. About half had somebody from management that participated in wellness events. And 36% of the CEOs or management actually helped promote health. I mean, we got a lot of work to do. 75% reporting having healthy food in their vending machines. How they defined this, you know, we gave them, there were some criteria on the survey, but, you know, this is all self-report. And about half encouraged employees to exercise during their breaks. So the and so you're like, well, this is about breastfeeding. Why is she presenting all this stuff? So the point being that these results, these are non-mandated activities. New York State has had a mandatory kind of lactations program since 2007. Okay, so we're like almost like 6 years in. So I'll show you the lactation support data in the next slide, but this is the backdrop or the context. About half had some kind of outdoor walking path or on-site fitness center. A fairly substantial proportion of them subsidized or had some kind of on-site gym activity. They offered pedometers. 40% had an on-site weight management or physical activity program, or encouraged their employees to participate in the many local programs that were available. We have a program called Eat Well, Live Well, sponsored by a local grocery store, Wegmans, for those of you who may be familiar with the name Wegmans. 71% have insurance coverage for either all or some for smoking cessation. And what was interesting is that cardiovascular awareness seemed to get the most attention. Anything from the blood pressure and cholesterol screenings, stroke work, CPR training, etc. So we clearly have, many of them had gotten the cardiovascular message. So this is where we were. So the questions that we asked about breastfeeding was, does your organization have a written policy, you know, regarding pumping of breast milk? And I just want to point out is I would have loved to have asked a lot more questions, but, you know, we were a piece of a larger survey and we're trying not to kill the respondents. We'd like them to finish the survey. Does your company provide paid breaks? And which of the following describes the space availability? So this is where we were. Half of them reported having some kind of a written lactation policy. About 36 said they had an informal policy. Now, many of you know, I mean, A, just having a policy doesn't mean that anything is happening differently on the ground, but we all know that a written policy has a little more teeth to it than an informal policy. So New York State has had a labor law since 2007, and obviously we've heard about the Fair Labor Standards Act. 77, however, said that they provided paid breaks for nursing mothers, meaning, you know, the mother didn't have to take her break time to do that, which is wonderful. However, about 20% required the woman to use the restroom or pumping or had no space available for lactation. That's despite the fact that in New York State, it is illegal to require women to use a restroom, or that you had to have a space other than a restroom. So we're still got some work to do in the state for that space. So I want to just touch base on how our law differs from the national law. So we cover up to so the New York State law is here and the Affordable Care Act is over there. We cover up to 3 years after birth. A scheduled break may be postponed no longer than 30 minutes. Prohibits discrimination against breastfeeding mothers. The Affordable Care Act says it's required to provide a place. We have it as other than a bathroom is fairly specific. Employers responsible for the cleanliness of the room. Room will have a lock on it or at least a sign stating that somebody's breast is pumping. Employer must allow the employee to work before or after the shift to make up for use time if within normal business hours, so if the person needs to use more than what the allotted time is. So just some interesting comparisons. The law is applicable to all public and private, so you can see some of the differences between that. An employer may not deny an employee this benefit due to difficulty finding a place. They must post notices, have a policy or a handout about this, and to let people know that they employees need to let the employers know that they plan to use this benefit. So before I hit on the conclusions, I want to talk just briefly about the limitations of the of what we were doing. So it was a relatively small sample. We also know that it was a selective sample, so people, you know, chose to participate. I suspect the individuals, the employers who chose to participate may have been more motivated or already had more things in place because they are self-selecting to maybe show off how good they are. Not sure. But that would say that we got the better part of the group responding and still had a number of issues. We also don't know if the employer, for example, may have been, it was an all-male workforce. You know, there are still a few of those hanging around, I suspect. There are questions that we wanted to include that we could not. We also made some interesting assumptions, and this is the fun part of working with partners, is you assume that they're asking some details about the employers, and we found out that they weren't. So there's some characteristics of the employers that we would have liked to have had, such as the percent of female employees, etc. Our strengths were that we did get a variety of company sizes and a variety of company types in terms of industry representation who participate. This has allowed us to compare with the non-lactation practices, which I think is an important context and lens to look through this. And it also further highlighted how challenging it is, I think, for employers to understand with the conflicts and the similarities or overlaps of the federal law versus the state law. And while I'm delighted we have a federal law, it kind of added a level of complexity for that. Our local breastfeeding coalition, which has just gotten up and running in the past year, is now looking to recognize employers as being breastfeeding friendly, so this agenda will be being moved forward. So our conclusions are, the adoption of breastfeeding practices are quite varied. Violations were reported by at least 20% of people, of the respondents, and the rates of non-required employee wellness practices was pretty high, were as high as the ones that are required in terms of the legal perspective. So again, just a little different lens to look at adoption of breastfeeding practices in the workplace. Thank you.